I want to invite you to open your Bibles with me to Deuteronomy chapter 1. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, we're going to read verses 19 through 40 this morning. It begins on page 183 if you're using a Bible from the pew. We are doing a series on Old Testament stories. Think about the greatest hits of the Old Testament, these stories that some of us grew up with in Sunday school. These stories that some of us missed out on because we didn't grow up in Sunday school and we're just learning the Bible for the first time and learning about what God has done in the ancient past with his people. We have looked at some of the stories in Genesis. We've looked at some of the stories in Exodus. And recently we talked about how God brought his people to Mount Sinai where he had promised that they would come and gather before him on the mountain and worship him. What was a burning bush, a little bush that was on fire and did not burn up because it represented God's presence there. All of Mount Sinai became like a giant burning bush, and God's people heard the Lord speak to them. His voice from the fiery cloud on the top of the mountain spoke to them and gave the Ten Commandments. Now, God's people were at Mount Sinai worshiping him and receiving his law, his will, all the way from Exodus 19 through the rest of Exodus, all the way through the book of Leviticus, and the first 11 chapters of the book of Numbers. They're gathered at Mount Sinai, and here God gives them his will, and he teaches them how to worship them with a tabernacle. And so they've heard this, they've received these instructions, and they've followed, and they've obeyed. And then God sent them out to Mount Sinai and aimed them at the promised land. The book of Deuteronomy is essentially a long, enormous sermon that Moses is giving in this transition between wandering in the wilderness and entering the promised land. Moses is looking back on God's faithfulness through delivering from Egypt, through the wandering in the wilderness. God provided manna and quail. God gave him the law. This is all what they need to remember and to know. This is the identity God saved people they need to know in order to go into the promised land. And so this is kind of a transition book. It's like a hinge in which the first four chapters of the Bible hinge into the next first four books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Going to aim at the next books of the Bible, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Samuel, and Kings. And so this is a transition, and Moses is preaching, reviewing the history. And we're going to read parts of Deuteronomy in the coming weeks. But we're going to start with this passage in Deuteronomy 1. These are events that happened in Numbers 13 and 14. But Moses is recounting them and reminding God's people what these mean. So, picking up at verse 19 in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Then as the Lord our God commanded us, we went out from Horeb, that's Mount Sinai, and went toward the hill country of the Amorites through all the vast and dreadful desert that you have seen. And so we reached Kadesh Barnea. Then I said to you, you have reached the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. See, the Lord our God has given you the land. Go up and take possession of it as the Lord, the God of your fathers, told you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Then all of you came to me and said, let us send men ahead to spy out the land for us and bring back a report about the route we are to take and the towns we will come to. The idea seemed good to me, so I selected 12 of you, one man from each tribe. They left and went up into the hill country and came to the valley of Eshcol and explored it, taking with them some of the fruit of the land. They brought it down to us and reported, it is a good land, and the Lord our God is giving us. But you were unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You grumbled in your tents and said, the Lord hates us. So he brought us out of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites and to destroy us. Where can we go? Our brothers have made us lose heart. They say the people are stronger and taller than we are. The cities are large, with walls up to the sky. We even saw the Anakites there. Then I said to you, do not be terrified, do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you, as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes, and in the desert. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reached this place. In spite of this, you did not trust in the Lord your God. You went ahead of you, who went ahead of you on your journey, in fire by night and in cloud by day, to search out places for you to camp and to show you the way you should go. When the Lord heard what you said, he was angry and solemnly swore, not a man of this evil generation shall see the good land I swore to give your forefathers, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh. He will see it, and I will give him and his descendants the land he set foot on, because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Because of you, the Lord became angry with me also, and said, you will not enter it either. But your assistant, Joshua, son of Nun, will enter it. Encourage him, because he will lead Israel to inherit it. And the little ones that you said would be taken captive, your children who do not yet know good from bad, they will enter the land. I will give it to them, and they will take possession of it. But as for you, turn around and set out toward the desert along the route to the Red Sea. This is God's word. This particular Bible story reminds us that sometimes we can be very intimidated by the things God calls us to do. We can be kind of afraid and think, the mountain that I have to climb is too high. The challenge I have to face is too great. This is insurmountable. I can't imagine how I could possibly get through what God wants me to do here. I think maybe the year 2020 has been the kind of year that fills our imaginations with these kind of things. How in the world are we going to keep doing church when we have to lock down for months? How in the world is my farm going to survive with the commodity prices? It seems like God is calling me to this vocation. I don't know what the future holds. How are we possibly going to make any difference in this world that is so deeply divided and polarized right now? There's sides that can't even talk to each other and listen to each other. There are people that are being fired from newspapers because they let the other side speak. Like, there's just no tolerance for any kind of discussion or disagreement or debate about anything right now in our country. And it's like intimidating. How in the world could we speak into that situation? God's people were on the verge of entering the promised land. God had said, I'm going to give you this land, follow me, and I will lead you to take this land. It is my gift to you. And the Israel, God's people, were so intimidated. If you read Numbers 13 and 14, the spies, the 12 spies that came out, 10 of them reported, yeah, it's an amazing place, but there's no way. There's no way we can survive there. One of the memorable things is they compared themselves to grasshoppers compared to the giant people that were living in that land. Israel was intimidated by their calling. This reminds us that sometimes we are as well. I just want to review this story of the 12 spies, first of all, as in the sermon outline, and second of all, then how do we trust God today, informed by this story, one of these hits of the Old Testament. See, God brought the Israelites to the border of the Promised Land. He told them to go in and possess it. Moses sent 12 scouts to explore the land. And when the scouts returned, they reported the land was very productive, but that the people living there were very powerful. They had huge fortified cities. Two of the scouts, Joshua and Caleb, encouraged the people to trust God. God's going to give them the land. But the 10 others discouraged the people with a bad report. And the people listened to the 10 scouts and rebelled against God. You have a majority and minority report. It's 10 against 2, right? That's a pretty tough outweighing. The 10 said, yeah, it's a great place, but there's no way that we're going to survive there. And 2 said, trust God's promises. He's been faithful before. He's going to be faithful again. In God's mercy, and because Moses intercedes, he pleads for God's mercy. God doesn't destroy them in their rebellion, but God does punish their unbelief by not allowing them to enter the land. They wander in the desert for 40 years, a generation, and their children will possess the land. And we learn some things from this story. We do learn that God expects his people to trust him. We learn that God loves his people. He's patient with them. God is long-suffering. But there comes a moment where their grumbling becomes something that's a bit intolerable for them, and they have to suffer consequences for their lack of faith. God doesn't tolerate insubordination. God's patience does have limits sometimes, and he lets people suffer the consequences of their sin. God still gives the land to his people in fulfillment of his promise, but the unfaithful do not share in the privilege. He keeps his promise, but the promise goes to their children and not to them. And it reminds me that even when we fail, even when we mess up and we fall far short, God continues to be faithful even to our children and provide them his covenant promises. I read this story and I thought, this is the right story to have in a morning of baptism, where we are trusting God in the future as we think about what God has done in the past, and we continue to follow him in the present. And so I think that's what trusting God is about today, and how we apply this story to our own day and time is the first thing God calls Israel to do is remember God's faithfulness in the past. So, you know, God is not saying, go take possession of the land. You have no evidence that I'm going to be faithful. You have no evidence that I actually will go before you and lead you and fight for you. No, Israel had plenty of evidence. They had the Red Sea that they went through. This is the archetypical holy war where God doesn't call people to fight for him. God fights for his people. And God leads the way, and he destroys Egypt in the Red Sea. As they left Sinai, Moses reminded them that God went ahead of them and defeated the Amorites who were attacking them. This is another story we're skipping over, but it's in the book of Numbers, where Amorites are like picking off the weak, straggling Israelites. This is terrorism in the ancient world, and God fights for his people. He brings judgment and justice to the Amorites. God continues to provide for you. God continues to battle you. You had the manna, you had the quail, you had water from a rock. You had all these things provided for you. This is things that need to be etched in your memory. This is who your God is. And we need to remember it. We need to share these stories. You know, sometimes if you don't talk about something, things get forgotten. And so the book of Deuteronomy is Moses talking about all these things once again to refresh their memory. So much of going to church and gathering together and reading the Bible together, if we've grown up with this, we think, oh, I know it already. No, we need our memories refreshed a lot. I do too. And we need to remember, what has God done for me? Because during the week, we don't have very many things that the world is calling us to remember God. The world's calling us to focus our attention on so many other things. And we need our memories refreshed. We need to remember God's faithfulness in the past. How has God blessed you in the past 5 years? What challenge did you bump up against and you were feeling overwhelmed and you were feeling intimidated and you were wondering, how am I going to get through this? And the good thing is you did get through that and God got you through that. Are you remembering and rehearsing those things, and is that shaping your identity now? You see, we need to focus on these things. We need to bring them to memory. When we gather as families for holidays, one of the helpful traditions to do is to review what we're thankful for and grateful for, to share these family stories, these things that God brought us through this trial, and we continue to honor Him and praise Him today for that. That's what Israel is doing. That's what we are called to do today. Remember Jesus, remember His sacrifice, remember His salvation, remember His teachings, but also remember how they have impacted you in your life so far. 10 years ago, 5 years ago, last year, last month, last week, what is God doing in your life that you can say, thank you, Lord, that's right, you have been faithful. You have been faithful. And from that memory, you commit to following the Lord in the present, today. You don't say, well, I'll start following Jesus when, you know, I have this job all figured out. I'll start following Jesus when I settle down and get married and have a family, because that's when I need religion the most. Or don't put it off. Don't put off your commitment. Don't put it off to tomorrow. Since God has been with you, commit to following Him today. Settle the things that are unresolved and settle them today. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We've been taught this year in painful and challenging ways. We don't know what the future holds. So today, commit to the Lord today. Whatever is not right, make it right today. Say, I'm going to serve the Lord here and now. I'm going to serve the Lord at lunchtime. I'm going to serve the Lord this afternoon in my rest, in my enjoyment with my family. I'm going to make sure I'm honoring the Lord today. And each new day, tomorrow you're going to get up in the morning and it's going to be a new week, new opportunities. Commit to serve the Lord this week ahead and with your Monday and with your Tuesday and with your Wednesday. Make the present count. We live in the moment, and moments so quickly slip away. Moses here is calling the people to remember God's faithfulness and make this moment of entering the promised land different from the moment that they heard those spies report and they lost heart. Make this moment different than those moments that you have failed. Say, I don't want to repeat history. So learn from it and do something different with the present. Follow your Savior into the future. Moses, again, he's looking back at the past and he's calling people to follow the Lord into the future. Remember that God is going to continue to be the God that you've come to know. His character does not change. His promises have proven to be sure. And all of His promises that apply to tomorrow, you can count on them for tomorrow. You can count on them for the future. You can aim your life in a direction. And so you can think, the last 5 years I've been blessed. So what are the next 5 years? What should they look like in my life? How am I going to honor God into the future? You know, we make plans and we set goals. And when we get a new job, we have like a career path. And when we go to school, we know, you know, how many years you're going to be in, when graduation is going to be. We're used to milestones. And we depend on the external world to kind of give us these milestones. You know, if you had to figure it all out yourself each time, it just wouldn't work very well, right? If you had to go to school and like, oh, you decide about when you're done. Yeah, that would kind of all fall apart, right? We need these kind of structures around us. They're actually good for us to have a goal and aim at that goal. But it's a lot more challenging, I think, to have milestones in our faith growth because we don't have all these kind of structures that bolster it up. Like, what exactly, if you're 30 years old, what exactly is your milestone for when you're 40? Or if you're in your 40s, what's your milestone for when you turn 50? Where should you be in life and in your faith? Or how do you want to grow? This is where God's Spirit moves us and shapes us and develops us and leads us. The church has milestones in the faith. We have baptism that marks the beginning of your discipleship journey. We have a milestone where you stand up and you profess your faith in Jesus Christ. You say, I embrace these promises that God gave me in my baptism. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to be counted as one of his disciples. And I'm going to be part of this church. I'm going to invest myself in this church because this church has invested itself in me. I'm a responsible adult. I'm going to follow Jesus. And you hold me accountable to it, and I'll be part of the congregation that encourages one another. But then what's the milestone? Then what? Well, it's marriage, then sometimes presenting your children as baptism. But we continue to grow. What's God calling you? How's God calling you to grow, to follow your Savior into the future? See, our ultimate aim, our ultimate goal is also a promised land, a new heaven and a new earth. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, or when we pass away, when we die, when we breathe our last breath in this life, whatever comes first, we'll be with Jesus, and Jesus will recreate this world, and we'll enjoy him in a new creation, a paradise forever. That's our promised land. Most of the first five books of the Bible are about God's people waiting for that promised land, getting ready for that promised land. Our life in this world is also getting ready for our promised land. God's preparing us for an eternity with him in heaven, in his presence, in a new world where all things will be made new. Remember his faithfulness in the past. Commit to following him in the present and follow your Savior into the future. And you too are being prepared for your true and final home with Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your mercies. Your mercies are evident in this passage that when your people rebelled, you punished them, but your promises did not fall short, but you kept them. And you brought a new generation into the land. Lord, help us to pursue what you call us to with faith and not discouragement. Give us confidence in the big things that we face in life, the things that are intimidating to us. Show us how you, Lord, are going to lead us and fight for us and make a way for us. We pray, Heavenly Father, for strength and for courage in this strange time in our world, in our history, where your name is not honored, where your church is often sidelined, people don't have confidence the gospel can bring about the healing and the change that our world so desperately longs for. Lord, help us to be courageous in being Christians that follow you and have you on our lips. And Lord, may our deeds show our love for you and our love for one another. Lord, we pray you would help us do this in the daily ways that we are called to each and every ordinary day, Lord, but we also, Lord, help us to do this in in our own personal challenges, those mountains that we each face, the things that are the hardest for us personally to do. Lord, lead us into those realities as well. And we pray this all through Christ our Lord. Amen.